Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York football Giants. Speaking of those Giants, Carl Banks, a former friend of the program, had some scathing things to say about Dexter Lawrence. Instead of us paraphrasing, why don't we just let you listen to what Carl Banks had to say on the Believe Network on his podcast with Bob Papa.
Dexter Lawrence, nobody respects you anymore. Mm. Nobody. Your opponents do not. The pre-injury Dexter is not there in their heads. They don't respect you. And there's a difference. You're on the field. They're blocking you with a 9-year backup center. You're not making a difference. The old Dexter would. Okay. There are a lot of things that go into your performance. Only you know what that is, whether you're still recovering or not. I'm just telling you now, I'm looking at enough tape to know that your opponents don't respect you. Not like they used to. And here's the thing. When Darius Alexander gets in the game, when Roy Robinson gets in the game and they substitute for you, those guys
DJ,
are making
DJ
plays.
Davidson.
DJ Davidson, those guys are making plays against the same guys that are blocking you. I'm going to just say this. Again, I don't know the circumstances. It's time for you to start expecting more of yourself. I don't know if you're injured. I don't know if you've fully recovered. But it's time to start asking more of yourself because they don't respect you.
Wow. I mean, that's as critical as it gets. And my only issue with that, and obviously we have great respect for Carl's opinion on these things. He's as locked in on the Giants as anybody else. My only issue with that is, why would he say that he doesn't know if he's injured? Isn't Carl Banks with the team all the time? Like, can't he just walk up to him and be like, hey, Dex, are you injured? Like, he should know. That's the advantage that Carl Banks would have being around the team. So just go find out. If we said that, Carl would be like, well, you don't, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're not around the team. Well, Carl, you're around the team. Why don't you ask Dexter Lawrence if he's in fact injured? And then maybe that would eliminate you being so critical of him. But either way, a Giants great questioning Dexter Lawrence play this season.
I mean, that is about as big a hit down as you're going to get. I mean, that's hard, man. And it's accurate because Dexter Lawrence has been terrible. I've been saying now for he's been stealing money. I'm happy somebody else said it that actually played because I'm just going to carry more weight than what I say. It's Carl Banks. So this guy got $60 million guaranteed a couple of years. I think that was May of 2023 when he extended up for 4 years, $87 million. I know they restructured a little bit there, but you're talking a lot of money coming his way, and he looks disengaged, he looks out of shape, and he's getting pushed around. Now, to answer your question, it's just a guess on my part. Like, why doesn't he go up and ask him on the team plane? And,
well, he's saying he doesn't know.
I know. Right. I'm with you. Yeah. It's a good question. Now, Hoff saw the team playing. Hoff travels. He's there. So I know how this goes because I would do it with the Knicks. You have access to Dexter Lawrence. Go and ask him. I actually think that's Carl's, because at his core, Carl is not a hit piece kind of guy. That's not how he operates. As we know, that's why we had the issue with him a little bit, even though we were just being honest, not a hit piece. I think that he said that to offset a little bit of his messaging. This is a guess. I think that Carl knows that he's not hurt. but he's leaving the door slightly ajar, so it's not 1,000% disrespect.
Well, remember, after week one, it was either week one or week two, but I'm pretty sure it was week one, we had Baldy on, and Baldy was the first to say it about Dexter Lawrence, and I was like, whoa. And then, from there, I started to hear some rumblings that maybe he wasn't 100% healthy. Now, since then, you've been getting on him pretty good, people have been questioning him, and now Carl Banks comes out and just rips him to shreds. I'm still not, now I'm not breaking down the film the way that those guys are. Actually, we'll ask Baldy. We have him coming on today. We could ask him again about what he thinks of Dexter Lawrence and those flat out, Carl's comments about Dexter Lawrence. I don't look at Dexter Lawrence saying he's a problem. I'll disagree with you. I'm not saying he's been great. I don't look at him saying, well, he's the weak link. I mean, we don't know about the double teams and things like that that's been thrown at him. Now, Carl would.
They
he do. Should.
So does Baldy.
Well, we'll find out again from Baldy himself, and you heard it from Carl right there. If that's the case, I mean, something's got to be going on because a player that good should not be playing that, should not be underperforming to the level where he's starting to get ripped to shreds by guys.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Okay, so it's a couple of things. It's got to be one of the following. Number one, and I'm just throwing it out there, he got paid, he got lazy, and we've seen it before, and he's checked out a little bit, and now he's getting pushed around. Possibility number one. Possibility number two, he is banged up,
right.
Okay? Possibility number three, and I discount this immediately, like if the Giants didn't have a Burns or a Thibodeau and obviously Abdul Carter, not with the sacks, but doing some other good things getting to the quarterback in terms of pressures, like if there was nobody else on the defense and they could just constantly double-team, you know, Dexter Lawrence, because when you're the opposing coordinator, you're like, all right, they've got one guy that could blow up our offense. Let's make sure we take care of the big boy in the middle with double teams and we could just destroy everybody else. That's not the case because the Giants do have other good players. So it's not an extra devotion of resources to stop the great, unstoppable Dexter Lawrence. So I put that aside. So it's either he's hurt or he got paid and got lazy. That's it.
Yeah, one of the guys I trust with this stuff, we talk about him all the time, Bobby Skinner, who breaks down the Giants film. I mean, he's a sicko. As a matter of fact, if I were the Giants, and I say this with sincerity, I would actually hire Bobby Skinner. I think he could be an asset to their organization in some way, shape, or form. Anyway, he breaks down the film. He does the podcast, all this stuff with Giants Nation podcast. And he was saying today, I saw him send something out there, that it wasn't Bowen's schemes that were the problem in this particular game, that it was more on the defensive players. Now, he didn't get into specifics of it, but for me, if you, even somebody who doesn't need to break down the film, I don't like Bowen's schemes in specific cases with the prevent defense in the final minute of the game when you have a lead. Like, that to me is just so blatantly obvious. Even a rando like me can decipher that. However, I also know enough to know that I don't care what scheme it is. When you got players like Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, your defense should be more impactful than it's been. We've been saying that since week one. Here we are now going into week nine, and that defense has just not been that impactful. And according to Bobby, and I would say this myself, like, it's more on the players to figure it out. The scheme is one thing. Playing guys out of position early on with Carter, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Being aggressive, okay, that's another thing. But the players themselves also got to make some plays. They're undermanned in the secondary where it's weak. The linebacking core, not that great. And obviously up front, if you can't stop the run with Dexter Lawrence, and if whether he's getting doubled, whether he's banged up, whatever it may be, then you need the linebackers to step up, and those guys aren't doing the job. Man, not only that, PT, on top of that, they're supposed to be an elite pass-rushing team, and that hasn't been there.
I mean, it's not Lawrence Taylor coming off the edge, looking to get Randall Cunningham. He is a big, strong man who is very hard to move, and his ability to penetrate and get in the backfield and stop the run and disrupt things at the first point, that's why he got $60 million guaranteed. So the inability for the Giants as a group collectively to stop the run, I'm sorry. I think it starts with him. I mean, they got sliced up for 273 the other day. They're third worst in the NFL in terms of, you know, yards per game on the season. They averaged eight. Now, again, when you have 165-yard run by Saquon, it's going to distort the numbers, to be fair. But they allowed over 8 yards a pop against Philly, man. 8 yards. So that's not necessarily Burns or Abdul Carter, who's been out of position early in the year, or even Kayvon or some of the safeties. I think it starts with him. I really do. And I don't think, I'm going to go back to this. I know we'll get back to the calls here. I really, knowing how Carl is buttoned up and very, very reticent to, forget about destroy, to even throw remote shade at players. Like, he doesn't really do that much.
And that was an attack.
So to me, I've got to believe for Carl to go out of his boundaries, if you will, he's got to know that Dexter Lawrence is not hurt. Because if it was up for interpretation, he will not say it the way he just said it. That's right. My opinion.
But he did question the injured thing. So whether he was softening it or not, to me,
I think he was softening it.
That made him sound worse because he should know definitively. And if you're going to do it, just do it. And you wonder how that's going to go over in the locker room there. I mean, Carl's been a guy who's been supportive of the players.
He has been.
And now you're taking on Dexter Lawrence like that. It's become national news or whatever, at least news enough in this town.
As it should be. Yeah. And by the way, if those guys have a problem with it, tough. I mean, he's a multi-time champion, one of the great linebackers in Giants history. Get over it. I don't care what they – like, who cares what they think in that locker room? They can't win anything.
Yeah, I know, but you don't also want to ruffle feathers to that level. I mean,
whatever. That doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean
– I mean, it might bother them, to your point, but like, if I'm Dexter – yeah, if I'm Dexter Lawrence, I'm pissed. I seek out Carl on the plane or the bus. Well, maybe it motivates him to wake up from his doldrums. Dude, honestly, and I'm with you. And I try to stay in the lane here. I'm not scouring film. I don't know what Baldy knows. I don't know one millionth of what Carl knows. I get that. But I know when I see a guy get paid and then there is this precipitous fall from where he was, which was maybe the best in the NFL, to a guy that's getting sliced up every week, something's wrong.
Did you find it odd at all that Carl would do this, but when we've had him on for a while, like, we were just simply asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, we had our opinions on Kayvon Thibodeau. Tell us why we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen, you know, because I have regrets about that interview, of course. I hate the way that whole thing ended.
We both do.
No, well, you were friends with Carl. I was not, but I had great respect for him. Like, I'm the one person at this station who's had his jersey.
The irony is that during that blow-up, Sal's wearing a Banks jersey.
I wasn't wearing a Banks jersey.
I thought you were.
I was wearing a different jersey during that interview, but I've had the Banks jersey before.
Why did you wear the Banks jersey that day?
No. I'm pretty sure I was wearing a Hostetler.
Yeah, I know. I remember
but anyway, point is, like,
we respect him. It just went off the rails. Big deal. Things happen.
Correct. I don't want to, and never wanted to make it a lack of respect or anything like that, but we were critical of Kayvon.
Yeah.
That got blown out of proportion on social media. Carl saw that,
mm-hmm.
didn't respond well to that, and then came on with an agenda to, like, prove us wrong. And all I wanted was a simple answer.
Yeah.
Like, I would, whether he gave us why we're wrong about Kayvon or show me why he's critical, like, that's what he gave on that Believe Network. That's the kind of analysis that you're looking for. Now, it was harsh and critical, but that's what you're looking for.
That's what we were looking for. Now, maybe he felt more comfortable talking with Papa, which makes sense. He's been doing games with Papa forever. That was obviously very interesting. And you're right. I have been and remain good friends with Carl. A lot of it goes back to the St. John stuff, as you know. But I was taken back that day because, number one, what we were saying that day was right. I mean, people could try to revise history. And we've also said that Kayvon has grown. I've said put on some functional weight, a little more stout, a little better in run support. I've said that. And I think Kayvon's having a good, not a great, good year. And I really do like him as a player. Now, top 10 pick, I want to see a little bit more, whatever. But he's obviously a good football player. At the time, I don't know why Carl was so reluctant to stamp what we were saying was right when, at that point, we were right.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Don is calling from Tampa, Florida. What's up, Don?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Got one quick Giants thing, and if you give me enough time, I have three moves that I feel like if the Yankees are serious about really wanting to compete with the Dodgers and be the evil empire again.
All right, Don, do this. Your Giants is your first instinct, so just give us the quick three Yankees thing. Maybe we'll get back, but and then get to the Giants. Quick, Yankees, go. One, two, three, go.
Well, here's the Yankee thing. So sign either Bellinger or Tucker, one or the other.
Yep.
Second thing is, and this is actually the one I really want the most, is to sign Bo Bichette.
Go ahead.
I want him being our shortstop next
year. He's a horrendous defensive shortstop. Next. He's awful.
I don't care.
Okay.
I want him anyway.
You might not
know. Anyway.
Go ahead.
I want him anyway.
All right.
Then I don't know if there's a lot of truth to the whole chatter about Harper in Philadelphia, but Harper, in my opinion, should have been a Yankee a long time ago. If they could find a way to get Harper at first base, then we'll go to war with those three guys.
Okay, Giants stuff. Interesting. We can get back to the Yankee stuff after. Yeah, what about the Giants?
So the Giants thing to me, Francesa talks a lot about on his podcast the idea that one of the biggest challenges that coaches have when they're newer coaches in the league is the ability to find a good staff. Just with the challenges of talent and lack of talent, et cetera, et cetera. I know yesterday you guys were talking a lot about the responsibility that falls on Daboll and whether or not he should be back based on how this season unfolds. I still feel like, and I called you guys before after the debacle when they lost to Dallas, and it's just gotten worse with the way that they lost to Denver. And I really blame most of the defeat of this season and the disappointment of this season at the feet of Bowen rather than Daboll, but obviously Daboll hired Bowen. That's his fault for bringing Bowen in, And the reason why they were most successful that first season, I still will always say, was because of Wink. And that whole fallout there between Wink and Daboll, I believe, was the beginning of this entire, you know, debacle over the last 3 years. I don't know. I think Daboll should get another shot to find another defensive coordinator, and he's just got to make a better decision that does fall on him as the leader.
Right.
But I still think the real blame here is on Bowen and his lack of ability to use the weapons.
He's terrible.
That Shane has gotten him on the defensive side.
He's awful. Good call.
And thank you for the call, Nas. Yeah, I mean, look, you could blame the defensive coordinator. Mm. A lot of us have here. To me, that's on the head coach. He's the one who brought him in. They've had issues here, as you mentioned, with Wink before that. They need to figure it out. Their defense should be better than what it is. So I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't care if it's Dexter Lawrence. I don't care if it's Abdul Carter. I don't care if it's Shane Bowen. They need to figure it out. Bottom line is they keep losing football games. It can't just be, well, it's a defensive coordinator. Well, no, the defensive players aren't performing up to their level. Well, it's everything. It's the head coach who's in charge. It's his record that is on the line. And if he doesn't figure it out over the final 9 games, he might be looking for a job again as a coordinator. So Daboll is the head coach. He's the one in charge. He's the one responsible for the defensive calls, for the offensive calls, for how the players play. Figure it out. That's where I would have the buck stop with him, with the head coach.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the first thing he started about with the Yankees, Bellinger, Bichette, and Harper is on his wish list. Of course, we all want Bellinger back. Bichette, I don't think that's going to happen. Number one, they still have Volpe. He's not a good defensive shortstop. He's an amazing hitter. And I don't think the Yanks are going to give him 6-7 years, so I don't think Bichette's coming here at all. And I thought there was maybe a little bit of life to the Harper stuff, and you and I were talking about this during the break with Hoffa. I think it's been shot down since, where Dombrowski was a little critical, but I think that that's probably going to resolve itself. And the other thing, too, like if they lose Schwarber, and they very well might, if you're Philly, how do you go into the 2026 season without Schwarber and Harper?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they trade. I don't even know if Bryce is, as much as I love him as a player, I don't know if he's tradable at this point. Look at the contract.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the production you've got.
Plus, he hasn't been great.
I know.
Now, I like his attitude, makeup, and I still trust him in a big spot in the postseason. But, I mean, why do you think the Phillies have failed in the postseason? They have 2 years in a row, they've been massive, massive disappointments. And I think that's in large part due to what Schwarber and Bryce Harper haven't been able to do in a short playoff series. Not saying that they can't break through, but I'm not saying he wouldn't be great in New York or be a great Yankee. I love a lot about Bryce Harper. I think the ship has long sailed on Bryce Harper to the Yankees.
He's 33. I mean, that feels like an old Yankee move. And I love the guy. I think he looks sick in the uniform. And when he catches one, you know, bombs in the upper deck.
He's a gamer. He's got the attitude.
He is a gamer. Yeah, he'd look for the part. He'd have the headband, and he'd just fit in, and he'd be really good. Ah, man, I'm kind of with you. I feel as if that ship has sailed a bit. $27 million for, you know, actually, it's not that bad when you look at some of these contracts.
How many more years?
So he's got 27 next year, 27 the year after, 27 in 2028, and then it goes down to 23, 23, 23. So 6 in total, 3 at 27, 3 at 23. I mean, it's actually not horrendous, but I think it's a year or two too late.
You have his stats up there?
I got everything. Well,
what was his production this year? Just give me the OPS the last couple years.
I was going to go to Savant, which is a better, but I'll keep it on Baseball Reference. All right, last couple of years, standard batting, OPS, I mean, still good, man. So in 2023, OPS 900.
Right.
In 2024, OPS 898.
Right.
And in 2025, this past year, almost 850.
Okay.
OPS still really good.
And I know he was banged up the majority of this year.
Missed 30 games this year, missed 15 the year before, missed 40 the year before that.
He was bad in the postseason the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I have that for you as well. You want the postseason stuff? All right. So when he first got, I won't go back to the Nationals, but so with the Phillies.
Well, he had the one big year when they got to the World Series.
Yeah. So 500, I'm just giving you the average. I'll give you the OPS for the different series he's played in as a Philly. 1,100, 1,500, 1,200, 760, 542, 1,700, 858, 1,279, 600. That's a lot of banging.
Yeah, that's a lot of numbers.
But this year, obviously, was 600. Quick.
Yeah, roster. I mean, look, you could do worse, certainly, than Bryce Harper. That's moving some things around. I don't think the Phillies are going to make him available, and I'm not so sure how many teams would be in on that at his age with the way that things have gone as of late. But if it happened, I mean, I'd be excited about it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking some Giants with the Carl Banks stuff, with Dexter Lawrence. We're talking some World Series and what the Mets and Yankees need to do to close the gap on the Dodgers. One thing on the Mets, I'm sure you saw this yesterday, and not that like I would ever make a big deal or even a segment talking about coaches.
Oh, I saw this.
Dude, here's the thing. Like, the reaction to Antoine Richardson possibly leaving is getting a little out of control. Like, he's a first base coach. Who gives a flying, you know what? You can't come to an agreement? Like, I'd take him back, sure. He did some great things. If the Mets are relying upon a first base coach, or any coach for that matter.
First base coach.
Hitting coach, pitching coach. If that's what's going to make or break the New York Mets, what are we doing?
Well, it's not going to make or break him. The guy's phenomenal at his job, dude. The guy's the best first base coach in baseball.
No, come on. That's so blown out of proportion.
Dude, Juan Soto could... I mean, if he ran, he would have stole 40 bases.
Yeah, okay. But
Juan Soto.
It's not because of Richardson. Soto could say
he didn't get thrown out since May.
Yeah.
Now, listen, to be fair to the Mets here, what I read, and I don't know, maybe you heard more over at SNY, Martino, whatever, it's not that they didn't want him to come back as the first base coach. He wanted to come back with an expanded role, whether it was his bench coach, whatever. Now, if they don't view him through that prism, I respect that. I'm just trying to be fair to the Mets. It's not like the Mets said, you know what? Nah, you want $50,000 or $100,000? Nah, we don't need you as a first base coach. Get lost. Now, that's apparently not what happened. But that is very different from saying this guy didn't make an impact on the season. He's the best first base coach in baseball. I'll take him with the Yankees. The guy's phenomenal with his job.
You could have him.
It's phenomenal.
Who cares? He's a first base coach.
The Mets' stolen base success rate was historic because of him.
Don't, it was not because of him.
Yes, it was.
It was not because of him. That's so ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
I'm sure he helped. The players had something to do with that. And if he leaves, they better be stealing as many bases. Like it's
well, they
simple.
Won't be.
Why not?
Because whatever he does, he does something with the timing. I don't even know what he does.
He does
something magical. The guy's phenomenal, Sal. Who's
the Dodgers' first base coach?
Who knows? They don't have to steal as many bases as the Mets do
right
now.
Okay, that's the point.
The point ultimately is when the Mets get the hitters the Dodgers have, they won't be as reliant on a first base coach stealing three bags a game.
The best first base, like the Richardson's going to try to take advantage of his value being as high as it's ever been because Soto referenced him, giving him credit for helping Soto become a better base stealer. And because of that, now everybody's like, you can't lose Richardson. Oh, you can't lose Antoine Richardson. Guys, he's the first base coach. Name the first base coaches in the history of the sport. Like, all due respect, no
Robinson gives a crap. Was pretty good when they were the 86 Mets.
Yeah, I mean,
remember Billy
on,
Robinson. He was good. I remember getting into a fight, a quick aside. Mets got into a fight, maybe with the Pirates. I don't know. And Robinson had a cast on his hand, and he was right in the middle of the fight. I like that.
Look.
This guy's a good coach, man. You're selling him short.
No. I'm saying
phenomenal.
That first base coach doesn't matter. I don't think
if it doesn't matter, why would you have one?
Did you say this when they hired him?
No, I didn't know anything about the guy.
Bingo.
But so I watched him coach. I'm like,
this
guy's doing something good.
If he were that great, you would have heard about him before.
Well, I don't know.
All of a sudden, he dipped into the Mets pool of coaching luck and became a brilliant coach. Like, nobody ever heard of him before. So where was it? It wasn't like this. The Mets got, the Mets really got some coup. They stole Richardson away from wherever the hell he came from.
Where'd he come from, Hoff? Do you know from the Rico real fast? Where'd he come from, this guy?
Yeah.
I don't pretend
that
all I know is what he's done, which is undeniably amazing.
Come on.
Come on. The Mets stole bases that they had no business stealing with guys that had no business stealing them.
Yeah, it's not about the first base coach to me. I'm not saying he didn't help in any way. I don't think he's the reason why that was the case. You know where he came from, Hoff? You have
He's
it
saying
up there?
The Giants. Giants, right, Hoff?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, the Giants.
He was with the Giants.
Yeah, and how were their stolen base numbers?
I'm it's not as good as the Mets. That's for damn sure.
Oh, so then I wonder what it is. Well, maybe it's just that the Mets had real base stealers like Juan Soto, right?
Okay, well then, but do they, though?
No.
Juan Soto's a real base stealer?
No.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I just think the guy's an asset. Listen, now if he's getting a little bit too big for his britches, well, then that's his problem. And that's the Mets' right to say, no. We don't view you as a bench coach. Now you got to move. That's fine. If they said to him, that's why I used it to like $50,000 or $100,000. Right. If this guy was looking to cash in on some success, I don't begrudge you. I mean, the impact is tangible. You got an impact on the team. So that's different from saying he should be ready for a different role. But as a first base coach, the guy's the best in baseball. I'll take him.
I would, and you can have him. I would bet, maybe they will take him. They took Desi Drusel back, the Yankees did. I would bet my you know what that without Richardson, the Mets win more games than they won this past year.
How
can they do that? Oh, it's a first base coach. He's impactful. He's instrumental. How can they possibly win more games without him?
I'm going to tell you how, because they're going to go to town this season and get some real players that have a better roster, so they're going to win more games. You know
but
that.
But that's the point.
That's a ridiculous... Well, no.
It doesn't matter, the first base coach. He's irrelevant.
It's not... Do you have any stolen base numbers? I'm just curious.
I don't
have time to look it up.
I have the Giants stolen base numbers from 2023.
Yeah.
Tyro Estrada stole or attempted 30. He stole 23 out of 30.
Okay.
Yep.
The next... You want to take a guess?
No.
Blake Sable tried six attempts.
Blake Sable?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He went six.
I've heard of him.
He attempted six, stole 4-6. Conforto stole 4 bases. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So
their leader was Tyro Estrada?
With 23.
And that was the year that he was there. Now, what did he do this year is the question. Was he going with the Giants?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I got something for you. The Giants as a team.
Yeah.
So we just kind of cut through the weeds here. We're 29th in baseball. They stole a paltry 68 bases, right?
With Richardson as the first base
coach? No, without him. Okay. This year, without him. So the numbers have dropped here. And the Mets stole 150.
Right.
What I'm looking at now isn't giving me their success conversion rate, which is what's really most impressive. Like, and the Rays stole a few more bases. So did the Brewers. So did the Mariners. But... I don't know the exact stat, but all I heard was the Mets haven't been thrown out since like May.
Right.
They never got thrown out.
Right.
So, guy's doing something well.
Yeah, he was fine. I don't think it's as impactful.
The guy was phenomenal.
The day I worry about a coach pitch, I heard the same thing about Hefner. I heard the same thing about Jeremy Hefner for years. How'd that go?
You need some real pitchers, though. Come on.
Oh, okay. So maybe if you want to steal more bases, how about this? Just an idea. Call me crazy.
Get Ricky.
Get people who actually can run and steal bases. Juan Soto's on base all the time. He better be stealing bases.
He didn't do it with the Yanks or the Nationals like this.
It was never a part of his game. I think.
Is it a part of his game now? Because he tapped into the math. It's all math now.
Yeah, but not because of Richardson, because it was something that he was going to be more aggressive. Now, I'm not saying Richardson didn't help him along like any coach would. I think coaches are in large part irrelevant. By the way, the biggest part of this whole thing is that Carlos Mendoza's on an island all by himself here. The entire staff basically around him, maybe except one guy, is gone.
Yep.
Well, will be gone, especially if Richardson does decide to leave. So there's also the idea that if the Mets get off to a slow start, they all could be out of jobs anyway. So, you know, now with the new guys coming in, maybe they feel better about their standing taking over if Mendoza eventually gets canned. But that's got to be a part of this, too. I just can't get nuts about... Come on. I can't get nuts about a first base coach here. I'll never do it. I don't care. First base coach, hitting coach, pitching coach, it's on the players. The million-dollar players, not the hundreds of thousands of dollar coaches.
Okay, so one more thing. Richardson. I just feel like I've got to defend this guy. The guy's amazing, dude. All right. 89% conversion rate, which set a new single-season record in the history of baseball.
Right.
I mean, that's not being good. That's being the best ever.
Okay, but that's not... Just on him alone.
No, well, but I do think that he spearheaded. I just remember hearing, listen, to say that I'm in the weeds of this guy's stolen base process.
That's my point.
Would be a lie.
Right.
But I do know that, and it is really just a mathematical calculation, the speed, and other teams do this too, but he seems to do it better. The speed of the runner, the time it takes, and they do this in spring training, the speed of the runner and the time that it takes to get from first to second on a steal, the delivery from the pitcher to home and the pop time for the catcher to second. That's all, like, I could do that actually to an extent.
Correct.
Because you read my mind,
I'm thinking the same thing.
I'm sure you are. That's why I say but. Yeah. But it's obviously deeper than that, and it was something with... Finding, identifying, almost like the tush-push where you almost can't stop it. He uncovered what? I don't know, but I will do a little deeper dive. I am curious. He did something that nobody else in baseball, not just the season, in baseball history did. Now the Mets didn't win a World Series because they can run like the 85 yeah. Cardinals. I'm not saying that. And they need a lot more players. But to get rid of a guy who's so obviously good at his job,
well, they didn't get rid of him.
It's ridiculous. They risk losing him.
They offered him the job back. Like, he didn't want it for whatever reason, or doesn't want it. They couldn't come to an agreement. Whatever that may be, whether he wants an elevated role, whether they wanted more money. Like, at a certain point, you're going to be like, you're a first base coach, dude. Like, we don't want you to be the manager. Don't want you to be the bench coach. You could be the first base coach again. This is the parameters. If not, go somewhere else. Like, I'm sure that Juan Soto learned from Richardson.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Mets learned from him. And if you learn from a coach and he moves on, what do? You still apply that moving forward.
You take the core principles.
Yeah.
I mean, to an extent. I mean, Nimmo ran more. At one point, the team recorded a franchise record streak of 39 straight stolen bases without being caught.
Yeah. It also speaks to the ineptitude of the defensive game that's going around big leagues, where you don't have catchers that can throw guys out anymore.
I think in a lot of ways, you know, Richard, here I am defending him to the high heavens. I never thought I'd be defending the Mets first base coach. Like, I just had to, but I mean, the guy was good this year. I think a lot of it is, and I obviously give him credit, but somewhat circumstantial. I think it's almost like an exploitation before the rest of the league catches on. Again, it's kind of like the tush push, where, hey, if you have two engagements, I mean, it's very, it's much easier to begin to limit and parse out a plan on how to attack stolen bases. All I'm saying, the guy was phenomenal. And if he's gone, they'll miss him. And if they don't want him, well, I'll take him. Whoever's at first base, I'm forgetting who's at first base. Yeah. Get rid of him and give me this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even know who the first base coach
because
is.
Because we don't run like the Mets.
Because they're irrelevant. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We come back. We'll have a little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lies.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Wait for it, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Bam, bam, bam. All right, a little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie, as we do every Tuesday at 11:40 or so. Hoff, what do you got for us this week?
All right, let's start with BT here. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Just like last year, the Knicks will have five guys finish in the top 20 with minutes played.
Bald-faced lie. No, that's not going to happen this year. No.
They might get Kolek in the top five of minutes.
Kolek looks good. I told you he could play a little bit here. I'm good on defense, but I'll stop. Come on. He's going to play 15 minutes.
Look good
a
in
game.
Miami. That bench got exposed in Miami.
All right, it's one game, dude. Let's see what they do tonight. They're playing pretty well. I did not love the fact that they shot 51 threes the other night against Miami. That's a little bit much. But no, bald-faced lie. There's obviously been an adjustment here. I think you've already seen Brunson's going to be in that 34-ish range. And I do think this is one thing to keep an eye on. This happened opening night with OG, who played almost 40. When the hot hand is going to be really ridden to the end in terms of minutes, and then generally there'll be a bit of a recalibration the next game, because if you look at that, OG then played fewer minutes than most starters in game two. So I think he's got a plan. I like it, but no, they're not going to be running to the ground like a year ago. Bald-faced lie.
Do you have Hoff the minutes leaders right now or no?
No, I just have the Knicks total minutes.
And it's what?
I'm just comparing it to last year, and Bridges has 35.7. Brunson 34.7, OG 34.3, right. Carl Anthony Towns 33.3.
That's so far. So you're saying the question was what again? Bold face?
Will they have five players be in the top 20 like they did last year?
Yeah, I think they'll have five in the top 20. I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. You know why? Because ultimately, their best players are far better than the bench. Now, I think Yabusele will be fine. I remember, this is just to calm Knicks fans down about Yabusele for a second. Last year, when the Knicks played the Sixers, I want to say, was it game three of the year? It was early on they played the Sixers. I remember watching Yabusele thinking, this guy sucks. Who is this guy? He doesn't look like he belongs on a basketball floor. Out of shape, couldn't hit a shot. And then he went on to have a very good, impactful year for the Sixers. So I would think that that's going to be the same with Yabusele. He's just trying to find his way early on in the season here. It hasn't been pretty. Him, Clarkson. Yeah, Kolek was okay early on. He's eventually Tyler Kolek. Like, there's a reason why these guys are bench players. I think Brown will be forced to clean it up at some point. And ultimately, their best players are going to play a lot of minutes because those are guys that can play a lot of minutes. So I would say in the top 20, I'll say it's a bald-faced truth. I'll go with that again.
All right, sounds good. I mean, they're close to it right now anyway, yeah. At least compared to last year. All right, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth, Sal.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber will both be returning to the Phillies next season.
That's a great question. I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. I don't think Philadelphia lets Kyle Schwarber walk. I don't think they're trading. They've come out and said that. Dombrowski said they're not trading Bryce Harper, so he's not going anywhere. Could they lose Schwarber? I guess. Where's he going? Is he going back to Boston? I don't think he's going to either New York team. Not going to get locked into a DH. He's older, coming off a rough postseason. Going to probably want a lot of money. I think for him, I'd like to see him go anywhere but Philadelphia, stay out of the NL East. Yeah, I hate him and watch it going against him with the Mets from a Mets perspective. But I still think Philly's got to do the right thing here. And I'd run it back if I'm them and take another chance with Schwarber and Harper.
I wouldn't. I think they've got to get younger. I think it's going to bald-faced truth. One of them will be gone. I think it's going to be Schwarber. I think that Bryce will be back. So I've got some projected numbers in terms of people who do the contract stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me if you think that this is too much for Schwarber. So, again, just a projection. Right now, 4 to 5 years between 100 and 160. And most of those predictions center around the $120 million. A five-year 160 is the highest prediction. Now, that's a little rich for a guy who...
You can't do anything but hit.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing it. Now, I know he hits at a high level, but he's also how old? 34? How old?
33, 34. He's getting up there, yeah.
There was also 2 years ago where he batted 197.
Yeah.
He had 48 home runs, but 197. I mean, if you did that in New York, you'd get destroyed.
When he signed, what did he sign, a four-year deal with Philly this time to leave Boston? The Mets missed the boat on that one big time. Imagine Kyle Schwarber being their DH for the last 4 years. Not only would you have him, and the Mets have not had a DH, period. Like, the Mets, even with the implement of the DH in the National League, they have not been able to find it. They just can't find a DH.
Remember when we used to say that the Mets, oh my goodness, when the DH comes around, they have their DH, no
they can't
problem.
Find one. They can't find one. Years later, for some reason, the New York Mets can't find a DH. They can't find somebody that can hit. Schwarber would have been a perfect fit for them. DH, Mash, they could have used that over the last several years, and he would have been away from Philly. I think now, I would not pay him anywhere near that.
No, neither would I. But a team like the Red Sox might. You know, I'll tell you, I was thinking about this. We haven't really, I don't think I've ever said this on the air, although I'm sure you may have discussed it or read it. I think the Red Sox are going to go hard for Alonso. I really do. I know that's a little bit of a swerve from Schwarber. It could be. They need some pop. They need some punch. Okay. And, you know, they got some guys in that lineup who are making very little money. So they've got the resources to do it. We watched it against the Yankees. That lineup is pretty thin.
Right. They shed the Devers salary, so they have money to spend.
They might lose Bregman because he's probably going to.
They're going to lose Bregman, I would think.
But
right?
If they're losing Bregman, then, like, what's the point? Because there's a thought. We just did this yesterday on Baseball Night in New York. Like, you would you rather have Bregman at third or Alonso at first? Like, I understand the importance of Pete and the power, but you can make a legitimate argument that Bregman is a better fit, well-rounded ball player, going to hit for a solid average. Put him at third base, and that would alleviate some of the sting of losing Alonso.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Bregman on the Mets. Right. It sounds so crazy because he's been here forever and he's really good. But no, night-to-night baseball impact, it's Bregman.
Right, but for the other way around, the Red Sox then would be choosing Pete.
Well, I'm thinking maybe if Bregman wants to go somewhere else. Yeah. Not that the Red Sox wouldn't want him. Good, Hoffy.
All right, final last one. Speaking of trash, BT.
Rangers?
Yeah.
Ooh.
The Rangers will find a way to trade Panarin and or Mika Zibanejad.
I mean, weren't they kind of looking down the barrel of doing that a year ago? Like, they had to really determine.
Well, they have no trade clause.
How are they going to trade those guys?
Well, you could just bench the Rams for 3 or 4 games straight and say, you guys suck.
Well, you're not going to do
playing.
That.
Why? They're not winning with them. They're not scoring goals. They're not doing anything.
I'm legitimately asking.
Yeah, they're terrible right now.
They're that bad. bad those two guys? Were you going to bench them?
They look slow. They're not creative with their shots. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of all basic nonsense. They can't score on a power play. I know they're the top wingers on this team, but that's not saying much.
Well, let me ask you another question here. I'm going to say boldface truth to one of them, not both, because you're going to have to shake this up at some point. It just doesn't look right. And I haven't watched every game. I've watched a couple. I know they can't score at home. I know they lost to some teams they could.
They played 10 games. They've won three.
That's disgusting. No, I mean, that's good. Gross. And I also know that
people were giving me crap last week for saying that the Islanders and Devils are far superior to the Rangers.
Like, it's not even close. Devils run circles around them.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. But I also thought the Rangers were getting a lot of shots on net early, and they just weren't dropping. Are they still getting shots?
They're still getting shots on net, and they're still not going in.
Yeah. I mean, but you might have to change up the DNA, so I'm going to say bullface truth. One's gone.
You're not being creative. You're not getting people in front of the net. You're not driving home shots like Crowder used to do, just sit there and be a puck hog and just poke it in.
It's a bullface truth, and I said this last year. They needed to break it up. Obviously, it's more difficult than just saying it. I think if Drury had his way, he would have liked to have traded, at the very least, Zibanejad. He's the one that's got to go. But even Panarin at this point, they just can't. One thought that I had, and you could call me a conspiracy theorist if you will, about bringing Sullivan in, was that Sullivan is a no-nonsense type guy and can ride these guys potentially to a point where maybe they wouldn't want to be here anymore. Mm. Like Panarin loves being in New York. Zibanejad comfortable. They love being in New York. Well, maybe if Sullivan is riding them.
Yeah, every day kicking them in the ass a little bit.
And they're not getting into it. Maybe they're miserable. Maybe they would be like, you know what? This is not for me. And a part of me believed that a part of that hire was due to that reason. Like maybe guys are too comfortable here. They don't want to leave. Bring in this hard ass who's not only a good coach, but also going to make things uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, and even if it's not where they would want to kind of get traded, it maybe kind of snap them and they start conforming and they start playing better or more.
Well, that obviously hasn't happened.
Well, I
can I ask a question? Yeah. You think you could do it quicker so we can move this along? I mean, come on already. This has been
disgusting. Rangers look
this
bad,
is disgusting.
Man. They look bad.
Yeah, they're on watch.
And you wasted. I mean, there's been one performance by Shesterkin, which was terrible. He gave up 5 goals against the Flames, which was bad. They won their second game of the season this year.
But they won 6-5 that game?
Yeah, no, that was 5-1. The Sharks won 6-5.
Good news that's right.
Good news is we should be able to go to some games soon. The tickets will be easy. People are giving those things away. BT and Sal.
That guy gave Shesterkin all that money, too. Highest paid goalie, right? 90-something mil? Yeah. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but.
Well,
you wasted the performances. He's actually playing really good up until the Flames and the Sharks.
I know, but that may be part of the problem, investing all that money in him, and then you can't build it out the right way. And the guys that you do or have invested in aren't coming anywhere close to doing the job.
Blow it up!
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll reset down with the King topic of the day. Also, something I just saw. It might have been from the Post. I don't know. I saw it on social media here.
Yeah.
That involves the Giants and a possible trade. We'll discuss that when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.